Hey everyone, and welcome to the Masters Athlete Podcast. I am your host, Rob Arnold, and I've spent the last 20 years in the exercise physiology field as a strength coach, personal trainer, wellness manager, health coach, and writer. Each week, I will bring you the latest research on injury prevention, strength and conditioning, nutrition, event preparation, and overall exercise physiology to the over 40 crowd of weekend warriors, seasoned triathletes, stay-at-home parents, and CrossFit athletes. Now, let's get on with this week's show. This week's episode of the Masters Athlete Podcast is sponsored by SimplyFaster, the leader in sports technology for athletes. SimplyFaster has the world's best solutions for speed, power, endurance, rehabilitation, and recovery. Perfect for the Masters Athlete, SimplyFaster distributes the K-Box flywheel system, free lap timing, gym aware, and electrical muscle stimulators to get you ahead of the competition. To get yourself started, just visit simplyfaster.com. Now on with this week's episode. Hello, Masters Athletes, and welcome back to the Masters Athletes Podcast. Hopefully you had a good listen last week when I talked about the home gym and building the home gym and all the essentials that it takes to create your own little mecca of exercise inside your own home or garage. This week, what I wanted to talk about was just give a brief explanation of inflammation and the causes of systemic inflammation. Before I get started on that, I would be remiss if I didn't talk at least just a minute about or remind folks that this week is the annual CrossFit Games. And as such, they have a Masters division. And they've been doing the Masters division since 2010. And it starts at 35 years old and goes up every 5 years up until 60. And at 60, it's just 60 and over. So, but this week in Madison, Wisconsin, they have the CrossFit Games, and it'll be interesting to see how the Masters play out and the type of workouts that they have them do. So I'll be paying attention a little bit to that. I'll be looking forward to seeing, you know, some of the beasts that are in the 35, 40, 45, 50-year-old categories and just seeing what they can do. I have a love-hate relationship with CrossFit, as well documented in a couple of previous episodes, but I think that what they do is bring a ton of exposure just to exercise, and they've gotten more people doing deadlifts and kettlebell swings and snatches than most people throughout the last 50 years. So they deserve quite a bit of admiration, and in my mind, Greg Glassman did a great job of promoting the product, and it's definitely taken the world by storm over the last 15 to 20 years. So check that out. There'll be lots of Facebook posts on it, and I'm sure lots of affiliates will be doing their own coverage. They're doing coverage a little bit differently this year. So definitely go to the CrossFit Games page and see where you can view it. So with that being said, let's talk a little bit about inflammation. There's going to be a ton of athletes that are going to go through some systemic inflammation this weekend up there in Wisconsin. So inflammation, it's just a broadly described as a commonly used term that describes just most of your aches and pains. So, you know, and so what do you do about inflammation? You take some ibuprofen and you're good to go. And so what I want to talk about today is systemic inflammation. And basically what it is, it's your body's way of telling you that something is wrong and your body is fighting to fix it. It's fighting the problem. It's a good thing. Inflammation is a good sign of something that is wrong, and it's letting you know. It's your body's way of letting you know, and you want it to be there. If you didn't have inflammation, then you would just walk around and possibly be hurting yourself all day long. On a personal note, myself, I've been going through quite a bit of inflammation in my heels, my Achilles tendon, my feet, and rather than take ibuprofen, you know, four times a day, 800 milligrams. I generally take it at the end of the day because throughout the day, I want to know if I'm doing something that's aggravating it. I don't want the ibuprofen to mask what is going on. I don't want the ibuprofen and Tylenol or any other pharmaceutical to mask the pain of what might be happening, to mask the inflammation. I want to feel it. I want to know it. I want to know what's happening because that way I can modify my activities based off of that experience and based off of that feeling. So for myself, I try not to use any kind of anti-inflammatories unless I absolutely have to. Now, at nighttime, I will take some ibuprofen to help me go to sleep, to help reduce some of the pain and swelling when I lay down to bed. But outside of that, throughout the day, I want to be able to feel the pain, feel the inflammation, and know that it's there so that I can back off the activities that I'm doing, okay? So that's where the concept of you know, suppressing it with pills isn't always a good thing. So it's very a good thing to be mindful of your body's inflammation. So there's acute inflammation, which stems from trauma, from infection, from an allergy. Basically what that does is it increases the blood flow to that area to help bring nutrients to that area to help heal it. It causes some swelling, it causes some pain, and you get a temporary loss of function in that area. So if I roll my ankle tomorrow, there's going to be quite a bit of inflammation in that area because it's going to increase blood flow, bring in a whole bunch of nutrients that are going to help heal the area. It's going to cause some swelling. It's going to cause some pain. And I'm not going to be able to use my ankle as well as I would on a regular function. So that's a good thing. It's your body's way of telling you, hey, something's wrong here. Let's stop what we're doing. I'm letting you know that something's wrong and you need to back off. Okay. So that's acute information. You roll your ankle or, you know, you cut yourself. If you cut your finger, it's going to have some inflammation there. But what's more problematic is chronic inflammation. This is essentially long-term tissue breakdown. And this can come from a variety of sources. So what I'm going to do is quickly describe the sources, and then we'll go into a little bit more in depth on what those sources entail. So long-term tissue breakdown can come from lack of quality nutrition, decreased quality nutrition, lack of quality sleep, increase of chronic stress, decreased gut health, and possibly a imbalance between your omega-3s and omega-6s. Now, that's kind of the most, that one there, the omega-3s and omega-6s is definitely much more westernized because of the way that we eat our foods, and that'll tie into the decreased quality of nutrition as well. So how does our nutrition affect inflammation? Well, you've obviously heard of food allergies and food intolerances, and most commonly tied to gluten, especially in America, because our wheat products are processed completely differently than the rest of the world. So, and there's a lot of information on that. I won't bore you to death with that, but with the way that our wheat is processed, it causes quite a bit of inflammation in our gut. So, but I'm sure you've heard of gluten intolerance. And what I like, as far as here in America, in the westernized world, what I like to think of that as is, you know, we all get sunburn. Generally speaking, we all get a burn from the sun. Some of us, it takes an hour to get a sunburn. Some of us will go out, and those that are especially fair-complected, and they may burn up in 5 to 10 minutes and burst into balls of flames. But eventually we all get sunburn. And that's kind of how I look at gluten intolerance here in America, especially with, again, the way that our wheat and gluten is processed here. So we're all a little bit intolerant to it. Some of us more than others. It's kind of like the sunburn. Some of us can eat a pizza all by itself and, you know, start to feel a little discomfort in our bellies. And some of us just sniff the gluten in the air and we break out into an allergy. And that there's legit allergies and, you know, all that Crohn's disease and stuff like that that is out there. And that's nothing to laugh at all. And it should be taken very, very seriously. Then there are those that we just get a little uncomfortable when we eat gluten. And, you know, I would put myself in that camp. And it's funny the way that you kind of discover this is you just take it away. You eliminate it. You practice the good old elimination diet and then reintroduce it and see what your tolerance is. And it's funny what happens when you take away bread, when you take away processed dairy products, when you take away a lot of different types of foods, especially processed foods for that matter, and you take them away, and then after about a month or 6 weeks, you reintroduce them, and you see how you feel. And it's amazing the difference in how you feel, because what has been normal for you, what the normal state of inflammation that you've been feeling basically your whole life, because no one's ever told you not to eat bread or no one's ever told you not to drink that cup of milk. What is normal for you is not necessarily ideal. And that's extremely to note. It's extremely important to note. What is normal is not ideal. So practice an elimination diet and see how you feel after you reintroduce it after 30 days, maybe 6 weeks. See how you feel after you reintroduce it. I, for one, another personal anecdotal note, I, for one, have discovered that beer has quite an effect on how I feel, especially the older that I've gotten. In my recent trainings for track, I eliminated beer from my diet. And I've recently started reintroducing it now that it's the off season and I feel that I can do what I want. And I just don't tolerate it that well. I drink it and I feel very bloated. I feel like my joints are inflamed, like I've got arthritic hands, like my knees are swollen. And it just, having reintroduced it now, my body's just like, nope, I don't think that we want to deal with this anymore. So it really sucks because I like beer, but I think that I'm going down the path of where that's going to have to be eliminated from my diet on a permanent basis. So that's okay. Rob Wolf introduced me to the NorCal margarita and I kind of like that anyway. So, I've gotten older, I've been drinking the tequila a little bit more. So that's good. So anyway, that being said, so poor nutrition is definitely something that affects our body's inflammation, and it affects our joint health, it affects our stomach, it affects all that stuff. And it's not just gluten, it's increased sugar too, increased processed foods in general. Sugar, gluten, processed foods, I mean, alcohol, they're all inflammatory markers that really increase the inflammation in our gut and our joints and everything else. So that's extremely important to start to understand. And again, the easiest way to understand what affects you the most is just practice the elimination diet, take things away, reintroduce them, and see how they feel. See how your body reacts to them. The next thing up is sleep. And this has been getting a ton of press lately. A ton of folks in the podcast world and the fitness world have been talking about it. And quality sleep is probably the most misunderstood thing that's happened over the last 20, 30, 40 years. It's almost been a marker of manhood or a status thing to be able to say, I only need 3-4 hours of sleep a night and I'm good. And that is just not the case. And they may think that they're good, but generally speaking, we're not. It increases our C-reactive protein, which is a marker for inflammation and heart disease. And it just messes things up altogether. So lack of quality sleep. So there's a lot of information out there that can be found regarding quality sleep. You know, get yourself, eliminate all electronics and blue lights an hour before you go to bed. That includes getting rid of the TV in your bedroom. That includes putting your phone away. That includes not reading books from your tablet. You know, pick up a paperback book or a hardback book and read it. Get rid of all the blue lights. Get rid of lights altogether from external sources like the outside. So get yourself some blackout shades on your windows. Get rid of any kind of lights that you have in your room so that, you know, there's nothing that penetrates your eyelids, because that's a pretty thin piece of skin. And any kind of light can penetrate that piece of skin. So get rid of all lights in your bedroom and really, really focus on getting a good night's sleep. No caffeine past 4 o'clock. That's kind of been a rule of thumb for me. No caffeine past 4 o'clock, and you know, alcohol even causes sleep disturbances as well. So get some quality sleep, and you know what's right for you. Obviously 3-4 hours is not right, but 6, 7, 8 hours. If I can get 6 hours, 7 hours of sleep, 7 hours is kind of my right there in my zone. If I can get 7 hours, I'm good. If I get 8, then it starts to get a little bit too much. So I'm good at 7 hours. The next item is stress. And to say that stress causes inflammation, folks, you know, it's long been thought of that psychological issues do not cause physical issues. And it's been debunked over and over again. We all know this. Our body reacts at a physiological level to repeated bouts of emotional stress. This is true. We can cause ourselves to get sick, physically sick. We can, through emotional stress, we can make ourselves sick. And this stems from inflammation. This stems from causing our body to be inflamed. When you're always plugged into electronics, this is a source of stress. Social media is a source of stress. It really is. So if you're constantly watching TV, constantly staring at your phone, constantly staring at a tablet, these are sources of stress. I read a great book recently from Dr. Andy Galpin and Brian McKenzie called Unplugged. Great book. Highly recommend it. A lot of it, I mean, the general recommendations is common sense. You know, get rid of your electronics, put them on a time schedule, and try not to use them past 8, 9 o'clock at night, within an hour of going to bed. That's that kind of the general thought of the book. But there's so much involved with the book that's really good, and I'm a huge fan of Andy Galpin anyway. So check out the book, Unplugged. Good stuff. But stress is a huge cause of systemic inflammation. So practice some meditation. Practice your deep breathing. Practice letting go of issues. And the older that I've gotten, the more I've gotten into, you know, the deep breathing and the meditation. At the end of a workout, I will lay my mat down in my home gym, lay down there, do some deep breathing exercises for about 2 to 3 minutes, just to really get myself back under control, get myself out of that high cortisol stress environment that is a workout. And it helps a lot. And I know that I should be doing it more. I probably could stand to do it 2 to 3 or 4 times a day. But as it stands now, I do it pretty much just after my workout. But it's definitely something that helps. It's something that resets my body to get out of that exercise mode, out of that high stress mode, you know, start to lower the cortisol levels and bring myself back to center. Another thing causing systemic inflammation is gut health. And this kind of ties in with poor nutrition. The gut flora, you know, the flora that's in your belly, that's in your intestines, it helps fight bacteria. And that bacteria is what is the cause of inflammation, systemic inflammation. And a commonly used phrase over the last 5 to 10, 15 years is SIBO, which is small intestinal bacteria overgrowth. And basically what this is that the flora is damaged and bacteria tends to grow at will inside your intestines. This is obviously a bad thing. We don't want these bad bacteria to run rampant throughout our bodies. Again, systemic inflammation. I can't say that enough. So SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, is essentially getting, you know, suppressing your good gut flora and allowing bacteria to run wild throughout your body. So that's something that to look at. Now, one way to help with gut health is by ensuring that we get our probiotics, our prebiotics, and eating nutrient-dense foods, consuming high amount of fiber, which is essentially 25 grams or more of fiber. And that's through vegetables, fruits, nuts, seeds, that type of stuff. Increasing a variety of foods and plant foods to get to that fiber level. We don't want to just eat 16 apples a day. We want to get it from a variety of sources. We want a lot of different colors. We want to balance that omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acid intake, which is something I spoke about earlier. We want to get a high amount of vitamin D. We want to get a lot of fermented foods, which, again, helps with probiotics. And then to back up to the previous section, we want to get a good quality sleep. Quality sleep helps reset our body and helps with our gut health. So I've kind of run through a list of the common things that cause systemic inflammation: your nutrition, your sleep, your stress, your gut health, you know, making sure you get more omega-3s than omega-6s, making sure that you practice the elimination diet so that you can feel the types of foods that affect you negatively, making sure you get rid of electronics at night so that you can get some proper sleep, installing some blackout shades, practicing some meditation and deep breathing to lower your stress, unplugging from all the electronics, increasing your probiotics and prebiotics and fiber intake to help with gut health. Doing all of these things is going to help with systemic inflammation. Our bodies, as they stand right now, are just walking around in quite a bit of inflammation. And it's the number one cause for most autoimmune disorders is inflammation. And the way that we can get rid of those things, the way that we can help prevent those things, we may not be able to eliminate them altogether, but the way that we can help prevent them is by decreasing our body's inflammation. And especially the older that we get, again, masters athletes deal with a lot more stuff than we did when we were 15 to 20 to 25, maybe even 30 years old. We have much more stressors in our life these days with family, with finances, with trying to get everything packed into a tight schedule. Sometimes our job requires us to be on the run all the time, and so we might not get the nutrition that we need. I'm going to be traveling next week for my work, and I'm already making plans on how am I going to fit proper nutrition into my system and into my schedule. So again, masters athletes have to deal with a little bit more stress. We have to deal with sometimes a little lack of sleep. Maybe we have a child. Maybe we have a small child that keeps us up at night, a baby. So we might not get the sleep that we need. And again, it causes a cascade of issues from our nutrition to our gut health. So focus on these types of things and focus on them one at a time. Practice the elimination diet and then start working your way down through sleep management, stress, gut health, and see how it feels. Again, you're going to see much better improvements in your activities, in the sports that you want to do, if you tackle your body's systemic inflammation. So with that, Again, as always, I want to remind you that if you have anything, any comments, throw them to me on mastersathletepodcast@gmail.com. Throw them to me on my Facebook page, Masters Strength and Conditioning. Shoot me a review on iTunes. Shoot me some stars on iTunes. Write a review so that way I can move up the list and we can get a little bit more listeners out there and spread the word for Masters Athletes. So with that, thanks for listening, and I'm signing off for this week.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.